You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
Good evening. You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Today we have myself, Will, Wally, and as usual, Ray's out.
That's what I'm saying, as usual.
Nah, I'm just giving him a hard time.
I know you
time,
do, man.
You know, every time Ray is out, I got to give him a hard time.
I know
time,
you
man.
Do. I know, man. I know, man. Is this how you guys do it?
Yeah, man. You know, last week it was the, you know, the jokes about the marketing.
Don't even do that, man.
I'm not gonna revisit it.
That's a sore spot for me, man.
As it should be.
You know, because that was a rough time for me, man. That was a rough time for me. Because at the end of the you know, I was trying to be a real millionaire. You know what I mean? Like I wanted to retire at a young age. You know what I mean?
I think that's the plan for all of us, man. But that's why you're doing this. You're the king of DC. You are the voice of the streets for DC radio.
Howard.
But you can't retire, though.
I can't retire. Not doing this. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Search All Skins of Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins defeating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 16-3. Then we'll preview the Skins' next opponent in the Houston Texans. Finally, Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network will join us to talk about the Skins being in first place in the NFC East and Josh Norman and DJ Swearinger calling out the fan base. But first, Sunday, the Skins defeated the Buccaneers 16-3. What were your thoughts on that game? Mr. Boo.
It was a hard game to watch. Not
gonna
lie
to you. It wasn't entertaining at all.
It was not entertaining.
If you're not a Skins fan, it was not entertaining.
No, if you were a fan of quality football,
no,
it was not
fan,
entertaining.
It's very entertaining.
No, if you're a fan of high quality football, that was not an entertaining game to watch.
I put the caveat. If you're a Skins fan, it's entertaining. Because the outcome made it entertaining.
All right, let's take the outcome away.
Okay.
Right? Let's take your bias away.
Of course.
Let's take the outcome. You getting the outcome that you desire.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Watching that game, was that an entertaining game to watch?
I'm trying to think about this.
No, because you don't want to agree with me,
yeah,
but
I
you
agree.
Know
no,
the
I
truth.
Agree.
It was a hard game to watch.
Hard game to watch. You know. But you saw playmakers though. It turned like you know, if you respect, if you like, you know, if you like defense, you saw Josh Norman make a hell of a catch.
That was a hell of an interception.
It was.
There's no taking that away from. That was a hell of a play he made.
Yeah. So I mean, but you're right though. All jokes aside, if you're just watching that game and you have nothing. If you watch it as an innocent as a spectator, you don't have a favorite team in that situation. You're gonna say to yourself like, wow, that was a sloppy football game. I mean, but it goes back to, you know, but it does kind of kill the whole thing that the Skins can't beat a high powered offense. Well, their defense can't contain a high powered offense. But though, you know,
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
That's a weird game though. Yeah. Would we consider Tampa Bay a high powered offense?
Yeah. And where they rank? They're top tier in terms of the ranking on offensively. I want to say they were one at a time from even before last game. I believe they were one.
So you would consider this Tampa Bay team high-powered, high-octane
offense? That same team beat the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. That same team.
You got to stop using
that. Same team beat the Philadelphia Eagles and put points on the board. They put points on the board. They put points on the board against the Pittsburgh Steelers, even in a loss. They put up numbers. Isn't that what we talk about when a high-potent offense?
I guess we do.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is because you're looking at Fitzpatrick and you're looking at –
Taking away Fitzpatrick. Yeah. Now, this is an offense that has weapons.
Oh, a lot of weapons.
Has weapons, mm-hmm. But as far as their efficiency, me calling them a high-powered offense, no. Is it a good offense?
It's better than Atlanta's offense, and Atlanta put beat the crap out the Skins. It is better than Atlanta's offense.
Yeah, I would say that. So, Ray would argue if he were here, but guess what? Ray's not here.
It's better than Atlanta's offense. I mean, does it have more weapons than Atlanta's offense? If healthy, no. I think we're just talking about this season. This season, with the injuries, it's up there. I mean, the only difference in Atlanta's offense to me compared to Tampa is that they got Julio. And I don't think no one can really guard Julio.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? Julio doesn't get in the end zone.
Yeah, exactly. But you have, when you look at Tampa, you got Goodwin. You got Evans. You got Deshaun. You got O.J. Howard. So, yeah, they're better offense. You know, they're not better than the Saints, but they're better than...
They have talent at the skill position.
Yeah, exactly. So to hold that team to 3 points, regardless of like missed field goals, obviously 2 missed field goals, interceptions. But this is what I said last week though about this Tampa game. Why this game was winnable for the Skins compared to like playing against a Matt Ryan or Drew Brees, right? Is that if you put Fitzpatrick in a situation where he feels that he has to make a play, he's going to force it.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean? So if you put him in, like, so when he's down, it's different. Like when he's down, you got him down and you're now playing it to a point where you're limiting his opportunity, right? He will throw, he will feel like he has to get all of it at once. It's like playing basketball, right? And you shooting, like you down 10. You down 10 with like in the fourth quarter. Let's say with 5 minutes left, so that's still enough time, to be honest with you, just to shoot a normal jump shot or
you're
whatever.
You're giving a basketball analogy.
Yeah,
right?
Basketball analogy, right? You can shoot a 2-point jump shot, right? You can work it. You can work the offense to a point where you can get a good bucket, a layup, or whatever. But you got a lot of people when they're down 10. What are they doing?
They start chucking threes.
Exactly, and that's what. And they're bad shots, right?
Yep.
Fitzpatrick on the flip side is a football player, as a quarterback. When he's down and you limit his opportunities with time of possession and whatnot, he's gonna try to force plays and make plays. Hence the 2 interceptions.
True.
And
true.
You know, I mean, and he didn't play an intelligent game for a Harvard grad.
Why do you have to add that caveat? He didn't play an intelligent game for a Harvard grad.
He's supposed to be super smart because he went to Harvard. And not to say that I truly believe that just because you went to Harvard, you're smarter than anybody else. I'm just saying, you know, he had that situation where he could have ran for the first down and ran backwards. You know what I mean? When you think of Harvard, you think of like the most intelligent individuals, but, right?
Fitzpatrick, he got busy on the ground. In the running game. He made a couple plays running.
Then he also gave him back. You know what I mean? I liked it. I mean, I liked what the defense brought to the table. I was clamoring for them to rotate their D linemen. You saw Stacy McGee play. You saw Tim Settle play a little bit more. I think they were wearing down the Alabama wall by playing them almost every snap. So once you gave them opportunities to get rested, I think that helps out them in the long run.
Excuse me, you said the Alabama wall?
That's their nickname, the Alabama wall. Payne and Allen, the Alabama wall.
You came up with that?
No, I did not. That's something that's already out there.
Oh, that's something that you guys in the press box came up with.
I'm just saying. So shout out to Greg Minuski, defensive coordinator, for actually doing that. You said
you guys in the press box?
Nah, man, they ain't a press thing, man.
Okay, listen, that's the first time I've ever heard anyone refer to those two as the Alabama wall.
Oh man, yeah, that's a thing, man. That's
okay,
thing.
Well maybe I'm just, you know.
All right, so If you listen to the game, you heard a lot of Redskins fans actually in Tampa. If you listen to it, you can hear them cheering pretty loudly. After the game, Josh Norman and DJ Swearinger stated that they would rather play on the road compared to FedEx. Your thoughts on that statement?
Look,
are you bad mouthing the fans by doing that? Do you think that's a?
It doesn't endear you to the fans. Uh-huh. I'll say that. Let's be honest. If you watch some of Washington's games, this is just me watching it from my TV, mm-hmm. you know, some of those seats looked empty.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, when they're playing at home, to create the home field advantage, you need the 12th man, per se.
Yeah.
You need the crowd participation. You need them affecting them, the quarterback being able to call a play in the huddle for mm-hmm. him, being able to snap the ball. when you, I'm not going to say it's quiet at the home games, but you don't hear, nor do you feel that home field advantage.
No, you don't. You see the opposition.
Yeah, and part of that is due to the game day experience, which includes the parking situation, commuting to and from the stadium,
cost of tickets,
and also there being absolutely nothing around the stadium for you to do pregame and postgame.
Yeah, right? and also, you know, this area becoming more of a transient.
Yeah,
area
it's very,
now.
Very transient. You know what I mean? That's a great point, Wally. Mm. So, you know, you take those things in consideration, and then also, you know, this is the first time in a few years that this team has actually been at a point where the fan base, outside of the RG3 that first year,
where
the fan base has been really excited and thought, okay, we can make a playoff run.
Yeah.
Something for you to be excited about.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it the brightest thing for them to say that? No.
Mm.
But is there some truth to it? Maybe. Possibly.
Ray just texted me. He was like, how don't you know about the Alabama War? You know, I feel like he's being sarcastic, but still.
He's been, look, Ray's part of the media, as you are. So, you know, you guys are in cahoots with the whole media thing. You guys are in the loop. I'm out of the loop. I'm just a guy who sits at home and watches the game.
I will say this, though. Like, I feel Josh Norman, because at the end of the day, this team is 6-3. I know. I mean, if you this is my opinion. If you always been a cat that, like myself, that really doesn't care for going to games, that's fine. I'm not going to knock you for that. But if you're trying to use excuses of you're a cat that goes to games, you've always paid the ticket, you always paid a certain amount, but it's because of certain other things. Like, to me, I think some folks are kind of on the for instance, the court, the X ain't here no more, right? The X ain't here no more.
Yeah.
And I feel like other folks, because the X ain't here no more, and they're not getting the quarterback they like, or the product they like on the players they like, some of the players they don't like on the field they don't like. Excuse me. I feel like that's another reason why, you know, some fans aren't attending games. I think it's more than just.
I think there's also the point of maybe fans aren't. They see a 6-3 record,
yeah.
Right? But can you really be excited about this 6-3 team?
Yeah,
you look at the way that they're winning games,
you can, because you were excited.
I'm gonna tell you why.
Because people were excited when Coach Gibbs was winning, when he took that team in the postseason his first year, and they weren't winning pretty at all. Other than probably Santana and Dallas, if you really looked at that game, to it, they weren't playing. They weren't exciting.
Well, let me add this caveat to it. You're 6-3, but then you see the way that the Rams are winning.
Yeah.
You see the way that the Vikings are winning.
Yeah.
And you see
they're scoring.
But and then you see the way that New Orleans is winning, right?
New Orleans and the Rams.
So do you think they're not excited because they don't think it's sustainable?
Jacksonville's fan base was a complaint about them last year, and they was winning. And they didn't play. They didn't win pretty at all. They just balled out on defense. So I don't really get into like winning pretty win. Winning is contagious. If you win, then eventually, like, you get confident, then you feel like you can play against anybody. Like, to me, this is my opinion about the fan base, to be real with you. When you lost for so long, right? And I mean this, when you lost for so long, you don't know what winning is. So all you know is negativity, because losing begets negativity.
Okay.
So are you going to be – so what you understand and what you know is, you know how to complain about everything. You know how to complain about a quarterback who's 6-3 and, oh, he's not throwing for 500 yards. You're pissed off at that. You complain about a defense. Oh, they just got blown out by the Saints without even breaking it down. Like, okay, well, you know, everybody has a game or two where they have a clunker. You know what I mean? Not to say like it, you know – that the Saints didn't show you they were just 10 times better. But I'm just saying, everybody has a clunker. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, just break it down for what it is. I want to read this Facebook comment before we go to break. I mentioned about, you know, the traveling issue. My man Johnny Ford said on Facebook, said, nope, he's right. Also, the fan base is right, too. I'm 34, and most of my life, we've been a joke or mediocre. Going to games is already hard and expensive. That much losing, the embarrassing blowouts, even the most devout fans start to just not want to be bothered or be enthusiastic or lose enthusiasm. Excuse me. And that ain't just going to go away because we are stumbling through winning. So, I mean, I get it. It's not going away. Losing begets losing. Fans will be frustrated when they're used to losing. But still, at the same time, this team's 6-3.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Anyway, it's time for a break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about the Skins going up against the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson's coming to town. So, I think Skins fans should be scared. You listen to Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Hopewell, Virginia. Your hosts are Will T and Wally. Rays out. DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans come to FedEx Sunday.
Don't forget Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not the same dude, though, but I'll still refer to him, too. They come to FedEx Sunday. The Skins beat the Texans if...
Well, I'll say this. I think Demaryius Thomas is better than anything you have at wide receiver on this roster.
Josh Dawson stepping up. But, yeah, he is better than...
He is.
Yeah, Josh Dawson stepping up. But, no. I mean, yeah, if you look at the body of work, yeah. Come on, let's be real. Yeah. I'm not going to act all ignorant.
Washington wins if they are able to... If they're able to... stop Houston's pass rush to get into Alex Smith.
Yeah, because they're
and make it making him knocking him off his spot and making him jittery in the pocket.
Yeah,
Washington wins if clearly we know what their formula is. If they're able to run the ball,
yeah,
and able to
score first,
and contain DeAndre Hopkins.
That's
on the outside.
That's it. That to me, that was my thing.
Yeah, or if they're able to make a play on special teams, get a big return. They haven't had a return.
I don't look at returns because that's not something that they do. They just don't. Brian Mitchell ain't walking through those doors.
Nah. but if they're able to flip the field with their return game,
well, the punting's been good.
Yeah. Well, Trustway's been good.
Amazing. Yeah, he's been amazing. I agree with you. I think field position can play a big part. But you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. To me, if Josh Norman can, I imagine Josh Norman following DeAndre Hopkins a little bit. But what does that really do? So it's if he contains DeAndre Hopkins, because that boy a monster. A monster, man.
DeAndre Hopkins
to me,
is a bad dude.
To me,
man.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Anytime you can catch 100-something other than Julio, Brandon Wheaton,
other quarterback. This is my thing about DeAndre Hopkins. Who's his quarterbacks, man? Other than Deshaun. Deshaun is talented. Deshaun is probably his most talented quarterback, right?
Yeah.
He's been getting like 1,000 yards with bullcrap. Yeah, with sorry ass quarterbacks, man. So when I look at DeAndre Hopkins, to me, I don't want to put him over Julio because I just like Julio that much. But to me, he's about the second best wide receiver in the game. And arguably, he is the best wide receiver in the game because what he works with. People work with better passing quarterbacks, and he could still put up 1,000 yards, 1,000 plus yards with horrible quarterback play. The dude was, I think Savage was his quarterback at the time. Come on, man. Like, the dude's talented, man. I mean, this season, 63 receptions, 894 yards, 7 touchdowns.
You don't have to tell me. He's on my fantasy
team. Oh, he's on your fantasy team?
Yes, he is.
I was like, Julio's on my fantasy team. Big buckets. That's what we do. that's what we do. But, I don't want to see Norman one-on-one with him. I want help when he's going against DeAndre Hopkins. Like you mentioned, protecting Alex Smith, you got Clowney. J.J. Watt has 9 sacks. Clowney has about 5.5 sacks. So you know that's a problem.
Well, it may be a bigger problem with Trent Williams out.
Yeah.
And then also Morgan Moses, his injuries.
Yeah, his injury with a sprained MCL.
Yeah, so it may be.
It's hard. It's going to be hard.
Yeah. And Ty Nsekhe is out. So you're going
to. No, he's going to play.
Oh, Ty Nsekhe.
No, he's playing. He's playing. Okay. He ain't hurt. He was banged up. He'll play. Time sector.
Yes, I mean, for me, it's going to be interesting because we have seen at times the Texans defense alternate their Clowney.
Oh, yeah, they move them around.
They move them around.
Oh, yeah. They go
for
weak lane.
It's going to be very interesting to see if they start with Watt matched up on the inside against a Jonathan Cooper.
Who played well.
Yeah, who played well.
He held two
holds. But then they switch him to the outside against Ty Insecki or Moses replacement.
Yeah.
I forgot. So it's
well, Moses is going to play.
Morgan Moses.
He should play. I mean, it's iffy. I mean, I say iffy. Chances are he's going to play.
Yeah, it's just, for me, it's going to be interesting. Then they also, with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
You know, right? Deshaun Watson with the ball in his hand. Because the guy has the ability to move around and make plays with his feet, do you play zone with your linebackers?
That's a lot you're going to have to do.
Or do you put a spy on him?
You got to put a spy on him. Probably be Zach Brown.
Yeah.
Since he's the faster of the two inside linebackers.
The game within the game would be
interesting. It'll be real interesting. You know, you're going against I like the fact. I mean, to be honest with you, I would be more fearful if that young boy from Notre Dame was playing this game.
Who, Will Fuller?
Yeah, because it's the element of his speed going, you know,
vertical,
vertical would scare me. I mean, you mentioned Thomas. He's talented. I mean, Thomas still is a beast, you know, as an overall all around receiver. But which fears me for this Skins team is a guy that can go vertical. And I don't feel like Thomas. I mean, at this point, Thomas' career is like a vertical threat.
Okay.
But on Facebook, Tony, I said, you know, the Redskins will win if Tony Levin said Colt McCoy plays more than a half. Joke, man. It's Colt McCoy, dude. All right, George said if the Redskins restrict the total of quarterback hurries and sacks to under 8, block that front, and the Skins can win the game.
Sacks to under 8?
He said no. Well, yeah, your hurries and sacks to under 8.
Oh, the combined.
The combined.
Sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The combined. Kyle McCarthy, excuse me, said the formula for the Skins' success is a plus 11 turnover ratio. We will need to force a few this weekend if we expect to win. Eric said the Skins need to run the ball and use Capri Bibbs.
Capri Bibbs has been in spots, has been pretty impressive.
Yeah, Ray would love to hear that, man. Yeah. That's Ray. Ray,
you that's
know,
Ray's guy.
Oh, right, Ray's guy. I've always, you know, said that the Redskins need to go through Adrian Peterson. Ray will shut me down. Be like, nah, man, they need to use Capri Bibbs. They got more than APs. Capri Bibbs. I'm like, all right, man, you got the juice, man. All right. Prediction though, real quick on that game before we go.
Texans 30, Washington 20.
Ooh, 20. You got the Skins getting 20. Skins 20. I do believe they'll get 20. Texans 17.
Okay, so you got Washington for the win.
Yes, Washington for the win. Has that ever changed, dude?
Not really.
The Skins have a 2-game lead in the NFC East. Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network will join us to discuss this. You listen to the Urban Sports saying, Fightus, you dig? Deuces.
Yeah, I done did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Up the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules.
You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Your hosts are Will T and me, Wally Ray's out right now. Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network's on the line. What's up, Lex?
Hey, man. Nothing much. What's going on with you?
Oh, man. Nothing much, man. You know, I'm excited, obviously. The Skins went into Tampa, got a W against a high-octane offense. We've seen in the past with this team, the last two highly potent offenses within the Saints. And also the Atlanta Falcons. This team didn't show out. The defense didn't perform. But finally, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I believe at the time was ranked number one in terms of total offense. The Skins went out there and pretty much dominated the game defensively, winning 16-3.
Well, I think they did a good job of keeping them out of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Look at total yards. They had over 500 yards.
I know.
Which is amazing. They only scored 3 points. That's really unheard of in NFL. But they always say turning over the football is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
No. You know, Fitzpatrick gets so much love, you know, in Tampa, but historically he's been a below average, mediocre quarterback. And I think, honestly, I think their coach should get fired personally, because you made a decision to give up on your young quarterback and go with the guy that historically loses just because he kind of had a little, I guess, a little rhythm. But I think long term, you kind of went away from your bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
And Jameis Winston has too much talent to be sitting on the bench.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think we can both agree that Jameis is more talented than Fitzpatrick. But I do think there's a locker room dynamic. Not with everybody in that locker room, but there's certain people, I think, that favor Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I agree. I think Deshaun was one of them. Mm-hmm. I think Deshaun benefited from Fitzpatrick being the quarterback because he's not afraid to go deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Deshaun needs a quarterback that's going to take chances. Jameis Winston really, you know, he took his shots, but I think he relied more on Evans and more to his running back, tight end. That's a deep threat.
Yeah, and I think people like O.J. Howard like Fitz, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell. But you're right, though. I think Deshaun is, like, the easy person that you can definitely tell that, you know, Deshaun is a guy that favors Fitzpatrick. You can see it. But back to the game, though, man. Like, seeing Josh Norman step up, you know, and get that big interception, seeing Ryan Anderson, you know, making plays, punching that ball like a boxer, and also, you know, your man, the secret weapon, you know what I mean? Like, Josh Dotson making plays, man. Speak on that.
You know, it's funny. He has been, the last couple of weeks, has made some huge receptions mm-hmm. for Washington. I think the issue with him, with Dotson, is the fact that we gave up DeSean Jackson, you know, who was a number one,
mm-hmm.
for a guy who we projected to be a featured receiver. I think if we had brought him in to be more of a complimentary guy,
mm-hmm.
I think the fans would probably be more accepting of him and wouldn't have put great expectations on him. But in our minds, and a lot of the Redskins fans, Redskin Nation, they're thinking this guy is going to be the next Randy Moss or, you know, Calvin Johnson, you know, guys like that, Demaryius Thomas, and, you know, Hopkins. But he has not lived up to that billing. And I think if we can just get out of our heads that he's a featured receiver and just accept him
mm-hmm.
and be more of a complimentary guy,
mm-hmm.
I think it'll be well with him. But he's starting to get more confidence, and he's a confidence type guy.
This is where I'm going to like blow your mind. I think he can't be a future guy. I think just seeing little by little, with his chemistry with Alex Smith, he's starting to trust him, and he's going to be able to make the big catches. It's just more about getting the opportunity and confidence. I agree. He is a confident guy. He's a guy that's based on confidence. He needs to have confidence. He has to feel that, you know, that he's at that level. But he has all the skill sets and the tools to do what he needs to do. But you're seeing it now. My thing is, you're seeing it now, and I like the way Jay is using him. He's not just going deep or just doing jump balls. Now he's doing more slants, comebacks, digs. Like, he's doing a lot more in terms of his route running. Obviously, to me, you're seeing a lot from him in the red zone. Like, that's starting to be his thing now. And I think that's like Alex can rely on him in the red zone. But I mean, all you want from a young wide receiver is growth, right? And, you know, within these last 3 to 4 weeks, he's definitely been showing promise.
Well, I think he has. I would still prefer Harris over him. I think Harris is a better receiver
mm-hmm.
right now. And he, you know, he doesn't drop any ball.
Yeah, He doesn't.
In any place on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great to see him, you know, it's great to see Josh starting to, you know, kind of get into a rhythm and help this team and contribute, because, you know, the next 3, 4, 5 games, Washington is going to need all hands on deck.
Oh, agreed,
and
man.
And hope that they get some help in that receiving core sooner than later. But, you know, right now, they kind of have to go with what they have.
Oh, man, they're going to go. They're waiting on Trey Quinn and obviously Jameson Crowder. Hopefully he can get healthy. I know he's going to have an MRI to see What's up with his ankle? But yeah, man, we'll see. I still have faith. I've always been a fan of Michael Floyd in Notre Dame. Who's in Notre Dame? I like Dotson. I like Harris. I think Harris in the slot. He's been playing the slot position right now as a wide receiver for the Skins, and he's done well. So I think there's a lot. I mean, there's some positive things. I think Alex is getting better little by little too within the offense. So we'll see how they start to project. They start to play as the season goes on. But you know, with the Eagles losing to the Cowgirls, you know, on Sunday night, the Skins have a 2-game lead in the NFC East, man. How does that make you feel, man, as a big-time Skins fan?
Well, I'm excited, and I'm happy that they won on Sunday against Tampa Bay because there were a lot of doubters. I was part of that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
They think that they would be able to survive. And if you watch the game, and there were moments this up front, that offensive line, they struggled. But, you know, they were able. Alex Smith was able to adjust. Their offensive line was able to adjust. They were able to make plays. And they were, you know, they were successful at the right times. They were able to win that game. But, honestly, when you think about what's coming Sunday, you can't get that excited because Houston is going to have a field day on our offensive line. If they don't improve from last week, and that was the big thing, Tampa doesn't have a big pass rusher. You know, they didn't have that where with this Houston team coming Sunday, they've got Clowney, they've got J.J. Watts. So I'm expecting Romeo Crennel, the defensive coordinator, I'm expecting him to run a lot of stunts up front, blitzing, and put a lot of pressure on that offensive line. And they're going to make Alex Smith earn his money on Sunday.
See, I think the offensive line did – we disagree. I think the offensive line did better than what I expected, to be honest with you. What Jonathan Cooper did, other than those two holding calls, I thought it was impressive. I'm still trying to figure out this holding call they gave Morgan Moses for throwing somebody just to the ground with one hand. They called holding, but I'm still trying to figure that out. But I like what I saw in terms of the offensive line. What I do agree with you is that when you're going against supreme talent and in J.J. Watt and Clowney, you know, like those guys are dogs, man. J.J. Watt has 9 sacks. Clowney has 5 sacks and 5.5 sacks. We're talking about guys who are not just talented dudes. We're talking about some of the best talented pass rushers in the game. Period. So they're gonna have their hands. They're gonna have their hands full with that front. And you know, if you ever watch, like you've seen the Texans play you've seen the Texans do their thing defensively. You've seen how Romeo will rotate Clowney or Watt on like the weaker offensive lineman. So you know, Watt to inside, he's playing inside in terms of a D tackle or a nose tackle, a D tackle. He'll move J.J. Watt to the end. You know what I mean? He'll move Clowney to the end. They'll move their guys around. So that's the thing that which scares me as a Skins fan is that, you know, this team, the Houston Texans, aren't scared to kind of move their guys around and go against the weaker offensive line.
Yeah. And you're looking at arguably two of the best defensive players in football one team.
Yes.
So you know they're going to be salivating. Mm-hmm. Once they watch the film and they realize these Redskins offensive linemen are, you know, brand new, trying to fill holes.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, and they're going to have to win that battle up front because they want to be able to run the football. And Adrian Peterson, as good as he is, he needs that offensive line to be, productive and able to make a few plays to open up some holes for him.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to be huge holes because Adrian is still capable of showing you the burst and giving you a lot of the Hall of Fame moves that has kind of carried him through his career. But, you know, for Washington to be successful, they need Alex Smith to be comfortable back there. And hopefully Jay will have a plan to protect his quarterback.
You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network on the line. You mentioned Alex Smith being comfortable in the pocket. Alex Smith has always been a guy, right, a lightning rod right now in his fan base in terms of, you know, some people are happy with him or not happy with him. I'm on his side and saying he's 6-3. Be happy. But where are you at with Alex Smith?
I think with Alex Smith, we have found a quarterback that is smart. The positives that I've noticed is that he has escapability. Where there are times when the offensive line may have been injured, Kirk may have gotten sacked in a lot of instances where the defense came in and really kind of forced him out of the pocket. Kirk has tripped over his feet, fumbled the football, and, you know, may thrown the ball in the bad coverage, things of that nature. But Alex Smith at least shows a little more cool and is able to find a way to not lose yards or turn the ball over. So you have to respect that. The only problem I have with Alex is he is so safe and he doesn't take a lot of risks.
Yeah.
I wish he'd spend more time looking at Jordan Reed and really giving him the football a little bit more and, you know, taking more shots down the field. You know, I think they take one shot deep per game.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great to see him do more. You know, try to take a couple more chances than he has, you know, so far. But if Washington's going to be successful again, man, that offensive line, they got to stick together and protect him and just allow him to, you know, feel comfortable in that pocket.
You got Jordan Reed in your fantasy football league?
I don't. Okay. I got rid of him a couple weeks ago.
So you sound like you have Jordan Reed in the fantasy football league. He got to go to Jordan Reed. He has to. I wish he would go to Jordan Reed more. Even though you're right, he shouldn't. But I'm just saying, I thought you had him in the fantasy football league or something.
Well, listen, I did have him earlier in the season, but I watched him play a couple weeks ago and literally just focused on Jordan Reed and Alex Smith. And mm-hmm. he didn't look this way, never throwing the ball. And for me, that was enough to say, okay, I'm going to package you. I'm going to package Josh Gordon and Golden Tate. And I'm going to go get me a receiver that I know is bona fide, a guy like Mr. A.D. Brown from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I got him and I got Sutton from the Broncos. Got so I feel like I got a steal because, like, the next few days later, the Denver Broncos traded Demaryius Thomas to Houston, who we're going to have to see on Sunday.
Of course, yeah.
But Josh Norman, who wants us to talk bad about the fans.
Oh, we're going
to
talk about that now.
He's going to have to earn his money on Sunday.
Oh, we're going
to
talk about that right now. Matter of fact, good segue, my man. Very good job, man. You got my outline in front of you. That's a very good job, man. You mentioned Josh Norman and DJ Swearinger. They said they had some things to say about the fan base in terms of not supporting. They feel like at FedEx they're not getting that same support like they get on the road. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I feel like this. I mean, they're human. They can say whatever they want. You know, but they also have to understand that. There's going to be consequences to what you say, and fans are going to expect you to perform. And when you don't perform at a high level or you make mistakes, which is very likely when you're playing arguably a great set of wide receivers that the Houston Texans have, it's going to be very tough for those guys, I think, on Sunday. And for Josh to kind of put himself in that position, I mean, he definitely has a bullseye on his back now. And, you know, I think what he has to understand, Washington historically has a history of success. They got trophies, winning championships. A lot of that happened in the 80s. And the 90s has been, the 90s and beyond have kind of been a struggle for Washington and their fan base. And I think what he's got to understand is the fans are kind of fed up a bit. Because of the misses and the losses and the bad decisions in the draft and losing quarterbacks in free agency and the coach changes and the losing. And all of that has become a issue for the fan base. And I think in Josh's case, he's got to know the history, I think, of the organization a little bit better than, you know, for him to make those type of statements, because Washington has a fan base that is very loyal. Now, they may not be coming inside the stadium, but believe me, if you go around town, there are a lot of Washington Redskins fans in the city, and they love the Redskins.
No, they do love the Skins. But I do agree. You know, what's funny, because I kind of agree with Josh Norman and DJ. But I think that, like it, we've all been in the game. We've seen it. We watched the games. We're like, hey, there's a rack of opposing, you know, of the opposing fan base at FedEx. And when you listen to the games like Tampa, like even Arizona, when they beat the Cardinals, I'm using those two as an example. You can hear the Redskins fan base, like, at, you know, traveling with the team. So I get what they're referring to. They're referring to a certain section of Skin fans, and you can see them on social media that travel, you know, that travel and support this and support these and support the and it supports the team, and they support the team at FedEx. But the majority of people at FedEx, they don't. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna see if you agree with me too. It goes to, like, the whole, you know, the ex quarterback. I call him he's the ex. That's why I call him the ex, like your ex girlfriend. Like, I think there's certain people who are upset about some of the personnel moves and whatnot, and they refuse to kind of, like, come to games now.
Yeah, I think you got a lot of different scenarios and reasons why people are not coming.
Mm-hmm.
You got some people that don't like the fact that they still have the name Redskins.
That's true.
You have the RG3 crowd.
Yes.
That's still out there.
That's still out there, too.
You know what I'm saying? The RG3 crowd, with the people that loved RG3, they hate Jay for letting him go.
Yep.
You have the Kirk Cousins crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, the ones that wanted Kirk to stay, and Kirk got, they didn't pay Kirk, so now they're upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and then you got the crowd that's tired of watching Washington lose, you know, because we've had losing seasons year after year. Mm. And at some point, you know, your loyal fan base, they're going to, like, figure out that maybe I need to save my entertainment dollars, and there are other things to do in D.C.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Going to a Redskins game.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. I've always said to, like, I've never been a person who cared about going to games, and I'm a diehard Skin fan. I've never cared about it. One, I used to think I was bad luck. I used to be real superstitious. I'm like, I'm bad luck. Every time I go to a Skins game, they lose. So I just stopped. I was like, I'm not going to Skins games. And it's not that, you know, I didn't want to support the team. It's just that it just wasn't my thing. So I never knock anybody. Has always been about that life, about not going to Skins games. You know what I mean? Like, I've never felt like, okay, you got to go to a Skins game to support the team. I've never been that person. But if you used to be a Skins fan, and you're the reason why, you know, you're not supporting the team is because you hell bent on past players. I'm not going to go on what you believe in terms of your overall beliefs. I'm talking about past players. I think that's an issue. This team is 6-3. Support the team.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, it sounds good in theory that they're 6-3. But then you also have that crowd to say, okay, we're going to embrace you. But then when we embrace you, you get blown out by the Falcons. We embrace you, get national TV, you get blown out by the Saints.
But that happens, though. I feel like that happens. Like, Atlanta got blown out by the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got embarrassed. They got milliwalked by the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, you know, folks in Atlanta still coming to games and watching them play. I just feel like this is my thing about our fan base, and because this is what pisses me off about our fan base. It gets to a point where, you know, and this is why I do blame the organization, too, at the same time, is that when you put out a losing product consistently, you get used to losing. And losing it begets negativity, right? And when, mm-hmm. so all you know is negative. It's just all you know is negative. That's what you know, because you're used to losing. So now when you have a winning situation, you're 6-3, you're tied for the third best record in the NFC. You have an opportunity, if things go your way and you do get on the streak, to even be able to host a playoff game. You can host a playoff game, but you get a bye if things go your way, right? You can. There's a chance. There's a slight chance, but there is a chance, because you only lost 3 games so far. But the only thing we talk about, right, in this area, we're talking about, well, they're not that good. Alex Smith is not that good. Like, he should be benched. This team is 6-3, man. Like, they 6-3. We act like this team is 1-5, is 1-8. This team is 6-3.
Hey, listen. This team is 6-3, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
But this team could also be 6-10.
Agreed. I'm not even. I'm like, I agree. But at the present, I agree. You're not gonna hear me deny that. But this team right now for what it is and the way they're playing, the way the season's shaking up, and you're looking at the NFC East, the teams they still have to play, or you know, they still got the Giants back, but still they still got the Giants on their schedule. Like, this team can win 10 games or 10 plus games. When's the last time this team has won 10 games? Last time this team won 10 games was with RG3.
Yeah, I mean, they say we have the second easiest schedule.
Yeah, supposedly. And I don't get into all that, but yeah, supposedly.
Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly.
We know this week they have Houston.
Exactly.
Who's in first place, mm-hmm. and they're on a winning streak. And they've got a quarterback named Deshaun Watson.
Who's a beast.
Who is capable of just having an unbelievable game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play Dallas on Thanksgiving, which could potentially be, you know, like, we're in first place right now,
yeah.
but in 3 weeks, all that can just evaporate.
It can. I agree. That could definitely change. But if you got, look, take care of home. I've always felt like you're playing at home. Take care of home. Like, that should be your own mentality. And I guess that's what the players are hoping for. Like, they're hoping for that moral support. But well, they're grown as men, too, though, so they got to worry about their own. So it gets to a point where you just got to handle yours. And that's just
your life. But the thing, I think that a lot of people with Washington, they're comparing Washington with the Saints. They're comparing them to the Rams.
See, that's
Kansas
a problem.
City,
that's
and
a problem.
Pittsburgh.
That's the problem. See, that's a problem. That's a problem. Like, you shouldn't
because
do that.
They look like teams that are going to be in the playoffs.
What
I mean, they don't look like they have a lot of flaws.
Yeah,
our
team
looks.
We look flawed.
Very. A lot of flaws.
But you know what?
Team.
See, this is the thing. This is what, and you know, this is why we look flawed. We look flawed because we don't score points, right? That's keep it a buck, right? That's why we look flawed. All right. So, but if you look at the Saints, right? The Saints, the Rams are all flawed. Like, the Rams can't stop the run. As good as Sue and Donald are, they can't stop the run. The Saints, they can't stop the pass. I'm not saying for us. I'm saying they're flawed in their own ways. We're just seeing it. When you look at the Rams and you look at the Saints, they score so much. Like, that's what everybody's fixated on is about how much you score. Like, you score like 50 plus. They like the Saints gave the Bengals 50. You know what I mean? They gave the Bengals 50 at Cincinnati. You know what I mean? So, like, when you look at a team that can score consistently, yeah, then you look at your team like being flawed. There is a thing of showing improvement. Now, all the Skins have to do, I'm being real optimistic right now, but all the Skins have to do is show slight improvement offensively. If the Skins start averaging 20, then we look at them differently because the defense is a defense that we respect.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, all and Alex, and I think we both can agree that from what we see with the eye test, that Alex is getting better. He's not as bad as he was 2 weeks ago, but he's getting better. He's starting to make plays. You know what I mean? Like, we saw it in that Tampa play when we hit Josh Dotts in the back of the end zone. Like, he's getting better. So, I mean, the way I look at it is if they get to a point where Jay Gruden and Alex, they understand who their team, what their team is, their true identity. You know what I mean? Like, run AP. Play action with Alex Smith. Alex Smith now becoming accurate, getting the rhythm. This team is different. The fan base will have a different idea about, okay, like, maybe this team can do some damage if they get to the postseason. They may not be able to win it all, but they can do some damage.
Hey, that would be nice if they can get a home playoff game.
Yeah, bro.
And knock the Eagles out of the playoff contention. That would be great. I mean, I think the fan base will come back. If they win on Thanksgiving, and I'm going to put this out there now. If Washington beats Dallas on Thanksgiving, yeah. I think the fan base will come back and they will embrace the Redskins.
I hope so because someone told me this, and I kind of agree with them. They said, like, most NFL teams suck. The only teams that are really good, and you mentioned them, or like the Saints,
Patriots,
the Rams. Other than that, and maybe the Steelers right now, because they balling, right? The Steelers, they balling. The Chargers. But how many other teams aren't really, like, really other than that, how many teams are really thorough? You know what I mean? Like, are really thorough. Like, look at, as good as the Bears. The Bears, they're scoring. Khalil Mack is amazing. But they're flawed. They didn't even beat a good team. The Bears haven't beat, I believe the stat is the Bears haven't beat a team over 500.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, all these teams are flawed. The Skins aren't the only ones. That's my thing. Like, but you couldn't. If you talk to a Bears fan, you wouldn't even know. Like, you would just say the Bears, are they rocking. They 6-3. They beating everybody. You know what I mean?
That's true.
You would. You ain't going to hear the Bears hadn't beat a good team yet. You don't hear that. What you hear is like, man, we're going to the playoffs. We're going to the division. That's what you hear from Bears fans. You don't hear, man, they can't beat nobody, though. They had the Patriots, lost to the Patriots. You know what I mean? The Pack. You know what I'm saying? You don't hear that from the Bears, from Bears fans.
Wow. That's true. I mean, I haven't thought about it from that perspective. And I will say this. Dallas fans would love to be where we
exactly.
are right now.
They would. Look,
and
you know this.
Fans would love to be where we are.
Exactly.
Right now.
And you know this. If Dak Prescott was 6-3, would they be saying he's garbage?
No, they wouldn't.
Exactly. Because he's been the same. He's been the same. They would be like, yeah. They would say, "Oh man, he's a." They would say that Dak Prescott's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC. NFC East. That's what they would say. You know what I mean? We. Get,
you think Washington is going 13-3?
Who, me? I wish. Look! I mean, I will say this much: there's only like 10. Like the Texans are tough. I'm not going to take that away. The Texans are tough, but I'm not terrified of the Texans. I will tell you a team that's now is starting to scare me now, little by little, though. And they are on the schedule down the road. The Tennessee Titans are starting to scare me. They are starting to scare me now. The way they're playing, like, starting to scare me. Because the teams they're beating, and they handle the Patriots. They handle the Cowboys. Like, they handling teams. Like, now they're, like, handling teams. It's a way you do it, right? They're handling teams. You know, so, other than that, I mean, I think the Skins played the Jaguars at a good time. Or maybe they want to quit. I'm keeping the buck. Maybe they want to quit. And then you're looking at the Texans. The Texans are a team that, you know, if you look at who they've beaten to, other than probably, yeah, they haven't played anybody. They haven't beaten anybody that you could say, like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, they almost lost to the Colts. They lost to the Giants. Like, should I be scared? Because they lost to the Giants. Should I be scared? Should I really be thoroughly, scared of the Texans? Because the Giants are horrible at every point of every part of the season. They've been horrible.
I think the Texans have kind of fallen under the radar.
No, I like the Texans. I like the Texans. Don't get me wrong. I think they're talented. But I'm saying when you look at, all right, for instance, when the Skins play New Orleans, you're like, there was a fear factor. It's Monday night, Drew Brees record. There was a fear factor, right? Like, you knew something could happen. You would hope that they would show up because in past, the Skins have always played well in New Orleans in the past, right? But you would hope they showed out. You know what I mean? But you knew in the back of your mind, like, damn, man, Brees may do some work. Like, he's trying to get this record. He may do some work. And then you look at Atlanta coming in town. You like, man, Julio, Calvin Ridley. You like, Sanu. You like, yeah, we got to score against. You like, you thinking in the back of your mind, like, we got to score against them. Like, we got to score. Like, Houston, with all the weapons, is not, if you look at how much they score, they're not like a 30, you know, like a team that drops 30 on a regular basis. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not right. That type of team. They're potent, but they're not that type of team. You know what I'm saying? As good as Deshaun Watson, it's not like he's a prolific 400-yard passer all the time. You know what I mean? So, like, it's like playing against Cam, right? Think about it. It's like playing against Cam. It's like, all right, Cam is great. Cam's going to make plays, but is Cam going to give me, like, 430? Nah, not really. But he can dominate the game. So when I look at Deshaun Watson, I look at him as a scary dude. Like, dang, like, how are we going to spy Deshaun? Like, I'm worried about DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I don't want to see Josh Norman, you know, playing Hopkins one-on-one. I want him to get some help. But if we can get them in third and long, I'm like, you know what? There's an opportunity. You know what I mean? There's an opportunity to still be able to win that game. And the defense can still ball out enough to bother Watson and him being a younger quarterback. So, yeah, when I'm looking at the Houston Texans, I think it's winnable. What scares me is obviously what scares you is, you know, J.J. Watt and Clowney. They scared the hell out of me.
Wow. I tell you, it's going to be interesting on Sunday.
It is.
You know, I think this is one of those games at the beginning of the season that you penciled possibly a a loss for Washington.
Definitely, yeah.
But now, you know, you just don't know with the Redskins from week to week. Uh-huh. And that's the part that I think where with the fan base, they just don't know. Yeah. They don't know which team is going to show up.
Yeah. I would say this, Lex. Did you, when they played the Packers, when you saw that on the schedule, what did you pencil that?
I thought that was going to be a loss.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people thought that's a loss. The Carolina Panthers, Lex, they're playing good coming into that game. What happened? They lost to the Skins. A lot of people, they penciled out a loss, too.
Thought that was going to be a loss.
Exactly. So I'm just saying, like, those kind of teams, when you look at the Carolina Panthers, because that's why I grouped the Texans. I grouped the Texans with the Panthers, the Packers. I think they're very similar in terms of their makeup as a whole. I'm like, you know what? Like, it's winnable. Now, I mean, does that mean they're going to win? I'm not saying that, but it's winnable. It's winnable.
Well, I'm going to say this. I think the Texans have better receivers.
Yes.
Than Green Bay and...
Well, the Adams ain't no slouch now. I know Adams ain't no slouch. He's putting up numbers.
He's not a slouch, but he's not DeAndre.
No one is DeAndre. I'm not even like, no one's DeAndre. You know what I mean? No one's DeAndre. I'm not going to say that. No one's DeAndre. But if you're looking at overall weapons, like when I'm looking at, say, look at Aaron Rodgers, for example. I'm not going to even look at the Packers. Let's look at, you can look at the Packers. Look at DeAndre. Look where they look at Jimmy Graham, Adams. The weapons aren't as thorough, but that quarterback play is thorough. You know what I mean? You're right. But that quarterback play is thorough. When you're looking at Carolina, you know, I mean, Funch is putting in work. So I'm not going, Funch is putting in work against the Skins. So obviously, you know, if Funch is putting in work, DeAndre, you know, can definitely do the job. But I guess for me, I just feel like the score won't be so thorough that the Skins won't be out the game. I guess that's my point. You know what I mean? Like, that's my point. The score won't be as out the box. Like, you know, like Atlanta. And the Saints, they mean 30 plus. I'm not sure if the Texans can do 30 plus. They may be able to. I'm not going to say they can't, but I'm not sure they can get you 30 plus. Not against the Redskins defense. I'm not positive. I'm not confident to say like they can get 30 plus against the Skins defense.
Well, I mean, we're going to see on Sunday.
We're going to see, Lex, man.
Washington's defense has played really well.
Yeah, we're going to see. We're definitely going to see. But Lex, before I let you go, let our listeners know how they can catch you on social media, and also what you got going on Heritage Sports Radio Network, my man.
Next weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to New Orleans to do the Bayou Classic. So that's supposed to be that's one of the biggest HBCU events.
Mm-hmm.
And never done that, so I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome, man.
Grambling versus Southern, so. You know, that should be a very interesting situation. Got a playoff game this weekend, Bowie State. They made the playoffs after winning the CIAA for the first time in school history. I wasn't able to make the championship game, but, you know, I was there in spirit. But I plan to be at the Bulldog Stadium on Saturday to root on my Bulldogs, my mighty Bulldogs.
Let's go Bulldogs, man. Let's go Bulldogs.
Absolutely. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, Lex Diamonds without the A. And most of the time, I'm rattling, talking about the Lakers, you know, something going on in the NBA. And, you know, these people that seem to always cry, Carmelo Anthony fans, you know, people like that. So,
look, I like Melo, but I know what it is, though, man. I definitely know what it is. Oh, before
he needs to retire.
He do need to retire. I love Melo. We need to retire. Also, I know what I wanted you to talk about. Before I do let you go, man, just give Ray a shout out about Atlanta, man. You know, he gave us a hard time last week.
Hey, man, all I got to say is for Ray is Cleveland.
Cleveland rocks, right?
Cleveland rocks. I mean, for them to lose to the Cleveland Browns, one of the most dysfunctional teams in the league behind the Raiders, is interesting.
It's interesting, man. Like I was trying to tell Ray before, man, like any team can get got in the NFL. Excuse me, any team can get got. You know what I mean? So we all can't be arrogant to think that. You know what I mean? Like, just because you got blown out or whatever doesn't make that team less of a team. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't. You know, we've seen the Pittsburgh Steelers get blown out before. We've seen the New England Patriots get blown out by lesser competition. So it is what it is.
You know, when Washington makes it to the Super Bowl and they're in Atlanta,
that would be too
they're going to bring the Falcon coaches and players to the TV booth to talk about playing the Redskins and how they had success against Washington. That's their claim. That's going to be their claim to fame this season.
That's hilarious. Hey, relax, man. Thanks for being on, my man.
Hey, I enjoyed it, man. Go Redskins. Hail to the Redskins.
Hail to the Redskins,
get
my man.
Get that W this weekend.
Let's get that W. I'm going to see you at the stadium.
All right, cool beans. All right.
Again, that's my man, Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network, man. Our weekly Skins contributor. I'm trying to preach that gospel to my man, Lex. I want him to know that the Skins have an opportunity to do big things. But anyway, you've been listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Hopewell, Virginia, for ages. You dig? Deuces. A Mega, lead us out big, homie.